Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Your mind is the greatest gift God has given you. And that's why today we continue with a brand new series called Rethinking Your Life. In these lessons, Pastor Rick shares the 9 biblical pillars we need to reshape our minds so that we can become more like Jesus Christ. In a moment, we're going to tell you how you can get a hardcover copy of Pastor Rick's number one best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called How to Win Over Persistent Temptations.
So when Satan comes and tempts you, says, why don't you do this? Well, you don't want to say, now I have my pocket Bible here, and I know somewhere in here there's a verse that says, don't do that. That's not helpful. But if you've got it memorized, then the Holy Spirit can bring, yeah, but the Bible says this. And you memorize the promises of God. So what you want to do to be ready, your emergency kit, is you need, let's say you've got a problem with anger, okay? And you get triggered pretty easily. Well, then you just need to go find a verse in the Bible that's about anger. And then you need to write it down on a little 3x5 card, and you need to read it over and over and say it aloud until you got it memorized. And then every time that you start to think that, Holy Spirit can bring that verse to your mind, and you got a tool. The Bible, this book is worthless sitting over here on the shelf in your bedroom. But this book in your mind becomes, the Bible calls it the sword of the Spirit. It's how you're trying to fight the devil without a sword. This is your sword. The most helpful thing you can do is start finding some Bible verses that will help you in the areas where you're weak and memorize them. Put them in your mind. Bank them in your heart, okay? Now, here's the next thing, number 6, in the steps to overcoming temptation. When I'm tempted, number 6, refocus my attention on something else. Now, this is the key. Refocus my attention on something else. We have been taught that when you're tempted, you need to resist temptation. Everybody look up here. Nowhere in the Bible does it say resist temptation. It says resist the tempter, resist the devil. That's a different issue, and you do that in a different way. But nowhere in the Bible does it say resist temptation. Why? Because whatever you resist persists. Anything you resist means you're focusing on it. And when you're focusing on it, you're still being tempted. I've told you this story 5 or 10 times. When I was a little boy, my mom would make fresh cookies before dinner. She didn't want me to eat them before dinner. I'd come up, my nose would go right to the top of the thing. And she'd go, now, Ricky, don't you eat those cookies. I'm not, Mom. I'm just smelling them. But the more I look at them, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. What am I doing the whole time? Focusing on what I don't want. And whatever has your attention has you, captures you. You're a goner if you keep focused on. What I need to do is just turn away and look at something else and break the attention, break the focus. I need to refocus my attention on something else. So the key to overcoming any temptation is not to resist it, but to just refocus. Just turn your mind to something else. If I'm watching TV and something on TV is either making me mad, sad, glad, sexually aroused, or anything else, whatever it's doing, and I go, I don't want that. I don't sit there and go, I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't. Whoa, I don't want this. I don't want. Whoa, I do not want this. The whole time, what am I doing? Focusing. It's real simple. Turn the channel. It wasn't that hard. Don't resist temptation. Refocus. You cannot control the thoughts that come into your mind, but you certainly can control changing the channel. You don't have, does that make sense? You don't have to accept. And turning the channel is the refocus in your life. So you change the channel. What is change the channel? The Bible word for that is called repent. It's what this whole series is about. Metanoia, change your mind, change the channel. Now, Romans 12, 21 says this, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil with good. This is called the principle of replacement. I don't say no, 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 because I'm focusing on the negative. You've heard me do this before. I said, man, I really need to stop smoking. I really need to stop smoking. These coffin nails are going to kill me. Man, it costs a lot of money. My lungs are turning black, you know, and on and on. What am I doing? The whole time I'm focused on what I don't want. It's like a coach walking out to a pitcher and say, don't throw a curveball. What's he going to think of? A curveball. He should walk out and say, throw a fastball. Give him something positive to focus on. Now, in this idea, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil with good. The thing is, if your mind is filled with good thoughts, you don't have any room for tempting thoughts. That's why the Bible in Philippians 4 says, think on these things, things that are helpful and pure and lovely and great. Now remember, we've been saying this from the very beginning, temptation starts in your mind. It doesn't start out there. It starts in your mind. James chapter 1, verse 15 says that the stages of temptation are attention, arousal, and action. First, something gets my attention. What you just said all of a sudden triggered something in me. Attention. And then arousal, the emotions kick in. And when you get attention and arousal, it's going to lead to action. If you want to stop any bad habit in your life, you don't stop the action. You stop the attention and the arousal. You stop the thought and the emotion. Does that make sense? You don't stop with the action. You don't go, I'm going to stop doing this. No, you nip it in the bud. You nip it, nip it, nip it, as Barney Fife would say. If you know who Barney Fife is, you're really old. Okay. You nip it and you say, I'm not going to think it and I'm not going to feel it because I'm just going to change the channel. I'm going to change the channel. Whatever gets your attention gets you. If I were to say to you right now, hey, you guys hungry? Well now that you mention it, Rick, I could go for a double-double. If I said, is it a little cold in here? Anybody, you a little cold? Well, now that you mention it, because you focused on it. If I said, are you guys tired? You're dying to yawn right now. Some of you did. Why? Because I got you to focus on it. It's not hard to break temptation. Turn the channel. Mm-hmm. Just change the focus. You see, what I'm trying to teach you is that the more you think about something, the stronger it becomes in your life. Some of you have a secret sin. Everybody's got some secret sin. And it gets a stronger hold and hold and hold on you because you're focused on it. And the more you fight a feeling, the more it controls you. Fighting the feeling will never give you freedom. We teach this in Celebrate Recovery. We teach this in God's Word. On the other hand, if you ignore it, it weakens. You don't fight it, you ignore it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, we capture every thought and we make it obey Christ. Now, that takes practice, and it's why I'm teaching you this series on rethinking your life. And that we're going to keep working on it till you get good at it. But anything you can get good at with practice. What I am trying to say is, when Satan comes to tempt you, never argue with the devil. You're going to lose. He's got more arguments. He's been arguing with human beings for thousands of years. When temptation calls, drop the phone. Don't go, I don't really want to do this. I don't want to do this because, and you got 5 or 6, 10 reasons. You're focused. When temptation calls, drop the phone and don't even pay attention to it. Point seven, this is a key for preventative. Join a small group for support.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Hi, it's Pastor Rick with some big news. My daily devotional is now available in French. If you know somebody who would enjoy reading the devotionals in French, would you please email me and I'll send you a link to sign up. My email is rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
As one of the best-selling nonfiction books in history, with more than 50 million copies sold in all formats and more than 70 translations available, The Purpose-Driven Life by Pastor Rick Warren is far more than just a book. It's the roadmap for your spiritual journey, a journey that will transform your life. In The Purpose-Driven Life, you'll find the answers to three of life's most important questions. The question of existence: why am I alive? The question of significance: does my life matter? The question of purpose: what on earth am I here for? You will also discover the five benefits of knowing your purpose. The Purpose-Driven Life is designed to be read daily in 42 short chapters that will inspire you to stop and realize how God uniquely designed you for a purpose only you can fulfill. It also includes links to 3-minute video instructions to each chapter and a 30 to 40 minute audio Bible study message for each chapter, along with appendixes and questions for further study and additional resources. Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004.
Once again, here's Rick.
God wired us to need each other. And if you're not in a small group, you're like a lone ranger out there, easy pickings for Satan, because you're not in a pack. You're not protected by a group. You're out there, you're alone by yourself. Satan, like a sniper, can just pick you off. You need to be in a small group. Now, at Saddleback, we don't say small groups are a program of our church. Small groups are the church. It is the church. This is just a gathering on the weekend. But the real church is what happens in the small group. Your body is not one big cell. It's thousands of cells. Saddleback is not one big meeting. It's thousands of cells that meet all over Southern California and now even around the world. And you need to get in a small group. The Bible says, Hebrews 10, verse 25, let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage each other all the more. You know what happens when you get in a small group is you're going to discover that a lot of other people have the same problems you do. You go, I didn't know anybody else felt the way I do. Well, they do, because everybody's going through the same thing. They all feel the way you do. That's why we love Celebrate Recovery. Over 25,000 people have gone through Celebrate Recovery here at Saddleback Church, and it's now used around the world. Why? Because you get in there and you go, oh, other people are afraid of this. Oh, other people struggle with that. Oh, other people have this habit, compulsion, thought, addiction, hurt. Other people are frightened by stuff like this. And you know what? When you revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. The tension just drains out when you realize you're not alone. The Bible says it like this in James 5:16. Admit your faults to each other and pray for each other. That sounds like small group. That sounds like Celebrate Recovery. Admit your faults to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. If you want to be forgiven, you just tell God. But if you want to be healed, you got to tell somebody else. God wired the world in the way that we get healed when we tell other people what we're struggling with. Why? It's liberating. The moment you admit to somebody else what you're struggling with, it starts weakening its grip instantly. Let me say it again. The moment I tell you what I'm struggling with, I already got a victory over it. If you can't tell anybody about what you're struggling with, it already is out of control in your life. It's out of control because you can't talk about it. You're so intimidated and so scared to talk about it, that means it's out of control. The moment you start talking about it, you don't talk about it to everybody, just get one trusted group, one trusted friend. We'll get to that one in a minute. The moment you share it with somebody else, you just got a whole lot of control over what's been out of control in your life. But as long as you can't talk about it, it's out of control, and that's scary. Hiding a hurt only intensifies it. Wearing a mask makes you miserable and lonely. And what I'm asking you to do is not just admit where you've sinned, but admit where you're being tempted. Listen to this. If there were more confession of temptation, there'd be a whole lot less need for the confession of sin. We're more likely to tell people our sins than our temptations. The moment you share with it, I said, and here's the thing. If before you sinned, you were actually to go to a friend and go, you know what? I'm struggling with, I'm being tempted by this person at work. Nothing's happened, but I'm being tempted. You know what? You're far more likely to not fall for it. Yeah. If there were more confession of temptation, there would be less need for confession of sin. If we started earlier and just, why? Guys, we're all in the same boat. Yeah. We're all tempted. It's not only liberating, it's empowering, because God gives grace to the humble. And when you tell somebody, I'm struggling in this area, then you've just been humble and God will give you more grace. And when you talk about a problem, as I said, it helps you gain control. Okay, number eight, not only do you need to join a small group for support, you need to enlist one friend. I need to enlist one friend to share my struggle. This is going to be my growth partner. And you're not going to have victory by yourself. There are battles in your life you can't win by yourself. There's sometimes problems are so big you have to team tackle them, and you need other people in your life. And if you have one person who goes, hey, look, I'm giving you permission to check up on me. I'm telling you, I'm struggling with this, my impatience, my lust, my envy, my pride, my greed. I'm telling you this, I'm struggling with my temper. I'm struggling with whatever it is. You have the power in its life. You cut it in half. You enlist a friend, and this is a battle you're not going to win on your own. Now, let me show you two important verses. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Two are better than one, because together, if one falls down, the other can help him up. But if someone is alone and falls, there's no one to help him up. Let me ask you a real important question. Who checks up on you? Who have you given permission to check up on you in your spiritual life? Who have you invited in your life to help you grow? Who have you allowed to ask you the tough questions and you're not going to get uptight about it? For them to say, how are you doing with that temptation? How are you doing with that habitual area where you keep stumbling and you really want to get over it? Let me pray for you. Can I check up on you? Can I encourage you? Can I check up on you? That's what friends do. Friends walk into your life when everybody else walks out. The Bible says that we need those kind of people. There are some problems in your life. Some of you are going to die with the same habits you've had for 30 years. Why? Because you never were serious about getting rid of them. And the reason why I know you weren't serious is because you didn't ever get a partner. You didn't get a friend. You didn't get a coach. You didn't get a sponsor. You didn't get an accountability partner. You didn't get a soulmate. You didn't get somebody you could bring into your life and go, I give you permission to check up on me and go, how are you doing on that? And I'll check up on you, and it'll be a mutual encouragement society, mutual accountability society. The Bible says in Galatians 6:2, By helping each other with your troubles, you truly obey the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Let me give you one last one and we'll wrap it up. The ninth key in God's strategy for breaking through persistent temptations is this. Remember, God is on my side. He's rooting for you. He's pulling for you. He's on your side. He wants you to win. And he will pull out the stops to help you win if you'll let him. One of the great promises of the Bible. Every person listening to the sound of my voice right now should memorize 1 Corinthians 10:13. I memorize it King James, which is different than this. But here's what it says in this translation. When temptations come into your life, remember that they're no different from what others commonly experience. And God is faithful. He will never let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you will be able to withstand it. Now that is so packed, I could have done a whole message just on that verse. But notice three or four things. First, it says, every temptation experience is common to everybody else. Now here's the good news. If we all have the same common temptations, then there are same common solutions. So nobody has my sin. Nobody has my temptation. You're dead wrong. Everybody else does. Maybe in a different format, but we all have, it says they're all common to everybody. And then it says God's faithful. And then it says he won't let you be tempted more than you handle. You say, I couldn't help myself. Then you're lying. Because God says, I will never put more on you or allow more on you than is in you to bear it up. And he said, I will show you a way out. And as a result of that, we get to the last verse on your outline, 1 Corinthians 15:57. We give thanks to God because he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The solution to the stuff you want to change in your life is not willpower. Your will is not strong enough. You've tried to break habits and your willpower was strong. The solution is he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the good news. This is the gospel, that change is possible. I don't have to stay the same. I like that. If you don't like me the way I am right now, hang on. I'm getting better. And I want you to do good. It's never too late to start over. God has promised to help. So let's get started right now. Let's bow our heads for prayer. You ready for a change? I said it last week, on this earth, you're never going to be sinless, but you can sin less if you do it God's way. So what lifelong habit would you like to be released from? Maybe you've been stuck in that cycle of good intention, then failure, and then guilt, then good intention, then failure, and guilt. It's time to get out of that cycle, to break that cycle with these nine steps. Would you pray this prayer in your heart? Just follow me in this prayer. Dear God, say it in your mind. You know all the habits and temptations in my life. You know everything that trips me up and has tripped me up for years. And Lord, you know the tempting situations I'm facing right now. And what's amazing to me, God, is that you even know the temptations that lay ahead of me this next week that I don't even know about. You know what's coming. So I'm asking for your help. I am willing to follow these principles, your principles, so I can change and be free. Help me to see the patterns in my life that lead to temptation. Help me to see the emotions that make me vulnerable and to recognize them. Give me the strength to start avoiding the situations that get me in trouble. And when I'm hit with an emergency situation, help me to remember to cry out to you, to quote scripture to myself. Help me to refocus my attention on other things when I'm tempted. I know I can't handle this by myself. I commit today to finding a small group, getting in a small group, starting a small group where I can be encouraged and I can encourage other people too. You help me find that one friend that I invite into my life that I give permission to check up on me. I need a friend like that, Lord. Help me to find that person. Most important, Lord, I need you to do some heart surgery on me. Remove the negative emotions that make me vulnerable and replace them with your love and your forgiveness and your trust. Jesus Christ, I ask you to start making these changes in me from the inside out, beginning today. I want to follow you completely. I want you to be the manager of my life. And I want you to save me, not just from hell, but from myself. And I humbly ask this in your name. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Rick. If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord. And you need to tell somebody. And why don't you tell me? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. If you would like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, just go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, as one of the best-selling nonfiction books in history, with more than 50 million copies sold in all formats and more than 70 translations available, The Purpose-Driven Life by Pastor Rick Warren is far more than just a book. It's a roadmap for your spiritual journey, a journey that will transform your life. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
One of the things that I've discovered is that everybody eventually asks the questions of significance. Why am I here? And what is my purpose? What on earth am I here for? That's why 10 years ago, I wrote the book, Purpose-Driven Life. Because I wanted to help people like you understand how God created us for 5 eternal purposes. The Bible says that long before we heard of Christ, He had His eye on us, had His designs on us for glorious living, that it was part of His overall purpose that He's working out in everything and everyone. God has never made a person that He doesn't have a purpose for. You know, that simple message needs to be shared with a whole new generation. A young girl who was 12 years old when I wrote Purpose-Driven Life is now 22. And she needs to hear this essential message that God has a plan, has a purpose, and has a reason for everything that happens in our lives. So I've updated the Purpose-Driven Life. And what I did is after reading hundreds of thousands of comments that have come into me over the past decade, I've added 2 new chapters that'll help you handle the 2 most common problems and barriers to living a life of purpose. Now I want you to have this newly revised, expanded copy of Purpose-Driven Life. I think you'll find it's a fresh reminder of things that you may have forgotten when you first read it. Or you might want to give the book to somebody who has never read it and is struggling to find their purpose. So this month, I'm offering to you a hardback copy of the updated, expanded edition of Purpose-Driven Life, What on Earth Am I Here For? It's my gift to you for your financial support of this ministry. It doesn't matter how much or how little you're able to give, every amount matters to God. And God sees your heart and He'll multiply whatever you're able to give. Thank you for your help in spreading the good news throughout the world. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 1-800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.